Encourage you that if you have an opportunity to interact with any of our children or youth this morning, that you might be kind to them, especially kind to them. If you encounter one of our teachers, perhaps a school administrator, a support staff, a volunteer, that you might extend a prayer for them this coming week. If you know a retired teacher, you might smile big with them this week. If you encounter any of our parents, we're across the board. Some of us are celebrating. Some of us are anxious. Some of us are frantic as we gather supplies. Indeed, as we gather for worship today, we are in our waning hours of summer vacation for our students. So encourage us to be mindful of that as we come together as a church. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. On behalf of those who are helping to lead, I want to welcome you, whether you are here in the sanctuary or joining us online. We're glad to have this opportunity to worship the living God together. As we begin this time, I want to highlight a few announcements with the help of staff and church members, highlight opportunities to engage in our church's life of helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ here at Midland First United Methodist Church. So to begin with, I'm going to hand things off to Tyler Morris, who serves as our choral program director. Tyler?
Good morning, everyone. I have two things for you. One is, you may have seen on right there, next Sunday is our last Sunday of the summer choir Sundays. And this one is, it's going to be really nice, really fun, really easy. I'll tell you right now, it's an arrangement of Nearer My God to Thee, something some of you might be familiar with. So if you're interested in that at all, please show up next Sunday and join us. It'll be a great time. Speaking of choir rehearsals are beginning in a couple of weeks. Our first one is on the 28th. I believe that is two Thursdays from now. If you're interested at all in joining us, we would be so happy to have you, even if it's for only part of the year. It's not necessarily a full year-long commitment. So please, if you're interested, join us at 7 o'clock in the choir room on Thursdays beginning the 28th. Thank you. And here's Denise.
Yep. Steps, because I'm vertically challenged. Nobody could see me down there. Anyway, hi, good morning. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about the Rescue Ministries of Mid-Michigan. On August 1st, nine of us went over to Saginaw to their facility. You see us there, and I want to mention those two grocery carts were filled with your generosity. New pajamas and toiletries and some canned goods, and so we were able to give them all of that new stuff. So we went over. The building you see behind is where the mural is painted is really nice, and that building is pretty much for storage. They keep their Christmas decorations in there. They have all kinds of new clothing, new things that they use for gifting for families to be able to give their kids Christmas gifts and so on. The mission statement there is expressing God's love by reaching out to the hurting and homeless of the Great Lakes Bay region, by providing shelter and care, proclaiming the gospel of Christ, and establishing Christian disciples among disadvantaged people. And this year marks 120 years of service for them. They have something there called the Impact Program. It's a six-month program for their residents where they have daily chapel and Christian discipleship. They take some classes. They have parenting classes, communications, financial literacy, housekeeping, health and wellness, those kinds of things. So the goal is to get these people out working. Once they get a job and then they find some housing, then they have the Impact Design warehouse full of household goods, and they completely furnish their homes. And then they don't just leave them there. They check up on them to make sure they're cleaning their homes and taking care of themselves. So we had a great day. Fritz was over in that warehouse working all day. Three of us were in the men's clothing room, sorting men's clothing. It was a very small room with a lot of clothes. And Melinda and Weston, they went to the warehouse, I think, for a bit, and then they served lunch to the residents and to us that were there working. So we had a really good day. We'll do it again, and I encourage people to try it out because it's a fun place to go, and they're doing great work over there. Thank you.
Good morning. My name's Fritz Hyde, and I had the privilege in June to go visit Missoula Falls Ag Center. It's a Methodist mission in Zambia, Africa, a remote mission. Today, immediately following service in the chapel right in the back, we will have a mission team report for everyone. It should be very entertaining and also some fun pictures from Africa. Please come join us. Everyone and anyone is welcome to come see. Beth will be there. You've seen some pictures, some humorous ones of Beth the Queen and Fritz the King. Looking forward to seeing anyone that wants to come hear about it. Thanks.
Thank you, Fritz, for sharing that invitation for after chapel. Wonderful to hear about other organizations, other mission organizations supporting the work of God's kingdom in this world in ways that we are partnering with them as a congregation. So thank you to Denise for sharing the work that we engage with Rescue Ministries of Bend, Michigan, and certainly encourage you, if you have opportunity, to stop by the chapel after worship to see a little bit more about the work that this congregation engaged with Missoula Falls Agricultural Center in Zambia. There is a lot more that is happening within the life of the church, so I invite you to turn to your bulletin or to open your weekly email from the church, which we call the e-blast, to hear more about what's happening. If you aren't yet receiving those and would like to, encourage you to contact the church office that you might share in what's happening. So with all of this, I'm going to have Teddy, our friend, come forward, who will gather us back together this morning after a brief time of greeting one another. Afterwards, please do remain standing for our call to worship. But at this time, I invite us to stand and to greet one another.
Good morning. Come, Lord Jesus, set our hearts ablaze with your love. Separate what in us needs refining, and may the heat and light from your love flame outward to guide the world back to you.
May we stand in awe of your beauty and wisdom.
Thank you.
As you're able, I invite you to remain standing for our opening song, Praise the Source of Faith and Learning. You'll find this on page 2004 of your Faith of the Faith We Sing songbooks or on the screen in front of you.
Thank you.
At this time, we ask all the children to come forward as Pastor Bethany leads us in a blessing of the backpacks. Come on, guys.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning, guys. How's it going? You have a backpack too? Adeline, nice.
Step over here.
All right. You did? Good job. Good to hear it. And Pastor Bethany?
Good morning, everybody. It's such a beautiful thing that we get to go to school and learn. I love that hymn that we just sang. And so before we do that, we want to take the opportunity to bless all of our students, you guys here today, and our teachers as well, because you're going to do lots of learning. And so let's pray together. Gracious God, we lift to you today these students. They stand here ready to receive your blessings, and they commit themselves to studying and learning in the school year ahead. We ask your blessing on each and every one of them. And we ask your blessing on their backpacks. They'll hold a lot of schoolwork and learning of each student, and they'll be carried from home to school and back again each day. And as these students carry these backpacks, may they be reminded of the love and the care of this congregation that surrounds them each and every day. We pray as well for teachers and administrators in our schools. May they also be sustained by your blessing. May they be reminded that this congregation embraces their call to teaching and learning and surrounds them with love and care as well. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who we seek to follow day by day. Amen. God bless each of you today as you go to Sunday school and in the weeks and months ahead.
Good morning, all. My name is Bill Heeshan, and for practical reasons, we actually swapped the two pieces that are in the order of worship. You'll see that getting out of here and getting up to the organ loft is just more of that. So this is going to be Build a Hymn, and the idea here is that what I'm going to do is play the accompaniment line for this one particular hymn, the lower accompaniment line, and then against a recording of that, I'll play the upper accompaniment line, and then against those two lines together, I'll play the melody. And I think by the time we get about six beats or six words into the melody, six notes into the melody, I think you'll recognize the tune. Thank you.
As we come to a time of offering this morning, I invite you to reflect on all the ways that God has blessed you. And I also invite you to sign the red friendship pads that are in your pews as the ushers are coming forward. We love to get to know our neighbors. We love to know who's here. And so I invite you to sign those and then pass them down so that you can get to know who's sitting next to you in the pew this morning. Will the ushers please come forward? God, indeed, we do praise you for who you are and for what you have done, for what you have given to us. You are the giver of every good gift. Lord, please use these gifts here to bless those around us, those everywhere. Lord, use these gifts as you see fit. We love you and we thank you so much. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 56. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I have come to set the world on fire, and I wish it were already burning. I have a terrible baptism of suffering ahead of me, and I am under a heavy burden until it is accomplished. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I have come to divide people against each other. From now on, families will be split apart, three in favor of me and two against, or two in favor and three against. Father will be divided against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. And mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Then Jesus turned to the crowd and said, "When you see clouds beginning to form in the west, you say, 'Here comes a shower,' and you are right. When the south wind blows, you say, 'Today will be a scorcher,' and it is. You fools, you know how to interpret the weather signs of the earth and sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present times." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. According to CarMax, the nation's largest retailer of used vehicles, 60% of car owners have placed this on their vehicle at one time or another. 60%. Care to guess what 60% of owners have placed on their vehicles? Are they the air freshener tags we hang on our rear view mirrors? Pinstriping up and down the sides? My personal favorite and must, the blind spot mirrors you can adhere to your side view mirrors. If you guessed bumper stickers, you are correct. Yes, 60% of car owners have put a bumper sticker on their vehicle, presumably at one time or another. Interesting fact, did you know that bumper stickers reportedly first appeared just before World War II? According to Wikipedia, the first widespread use of bumper stickers as advertising was a tourist attraction in Lookout Mountain, Tennessee. This widespread bumper sticker simply stated, "See Rock City." Since then, the variety of messages touted on these miniature-sized placards seem infinite. For example, "My child is on the honor roll." Or the obligatory, "My dog is smarter than your honor student." And countless others that tout our favorite sports teams, our interests, and much more. The reason I bring all this up is because the Bible passage that we're looking at today from Luke chapter 12 brings to my mind a particular bumper sticker. Perhaps it's one that you've seen on the road. In one form or another, it goes something like this: "No Jesus, no peace." No Jesus, K-N-O-W, Jesus, no peace. Ironically, it seems that these are typically on the vehicles that are cutting me off on US 10 from time to No. But we've seen it from time to time. In some sense, I agree wholeheartedly with the sentiment here. After all, the prophet Isaiah spoke of the Son of God as being Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what? Prince of Peace. And indeed, in Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul spoke of how, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have our peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having said all this, what are we to do with Jesus' teaching in verses 51 through 53 here? Wherein Jesus says, "Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I have come to divide people against each other. From now on, families will be split apart, three in favor of me and two against, and two in favor and three against." Indeed, as Pastor Bethany read, father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, and mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. I'm sorry if you happen to be sitting next to yours. But not quite the words of peace or the words we might expect from one who is the Prince of Peace. They're certainly not the ones we encounter all that often on a bumper sticker. In fact, more than anything else, we may be more inclined to ignore this teaching of Jesus in favor of one that's a little more palatable. And yet, Luke places this teaching of Jesus in one of the most critical sections or parts of his telling of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And so, naturally, our attention is already heightened if we're reading Luke's gospel. And this is a time when Jesus and his disciples are making their way to Jerusalem as Jesus has set his mind on what lies ahead, having set his mind on the cross and accomplishing what he has ultimately been sent to do. In fact, Jesus' anguish is palpable here in verse 50. Jesus notes, "I have a terrible baptism of suffering ahead of me, and I am under a heavy burden until this is accomplished." And so we find Jesus in this setting where he is once again teaching his closest followers what discipleship looks like. In other words, he's telling them and showing them what it looks like to follow him. And as Jesus shares this teaching with his most committed followers, we hear from Luke that they are surrounded by a large crowd who are also listening in. And in this moment, all who hear what Jesus has to share are reminded that discipleship, that following Jesus is not easy. They are reminded that the decision to follow him is not one that should ever be taken lightly, because his presence is not meant to preserve the status quo, but his presence in our world and in our lives is meant to bring about God's kingdom. All of this is very apparent in what Jesus has to say with regards to his presence and its impact on some who will follow him in their lives. Indeed, Jesus is forthright in saying that in some households, that in some families, his presence and his way will be a catalyst for crisis and even division, for fathers and sons, daughters and mothers, in-laws against one another. In his commentary on this passage, Fred Craddock, who is a preacher and professor emeritus at the Candler School of Theology, he compared the decision to follow Christ to that moment wherein raindrops fall on the ridge of a rooftop. And Craddock writes, two raindrops strike the ridge, and that moment can conclude with there being oceans apart. To be placed in the situation of decision is critical. For to turn toward one person or goal or value means turning away from another. To be placed in the situation of decision is critical. For to turn toward one person, one goal or value means turning away from another. We can imagine that it was difficult for his disciples to encounter this lesson on their way to Jerusalem, if for no other reason that this lesson is still difficult today. So how receptive are we today? How receptive are we to this very notion that Jesus does not come into our lives to preserve our status quo? I was right around 16 or 17 years old, perhaps like some of you, when I made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Perhaps like many of you, I was raised in the church. I was raised knowing that Sunday mornings was set aside for church. I was brought to Sunday school I'd admit, forced to be a part of choir. Sorry, Tyler. Sorry, Gabrielle. Sorry, Nathan. Encouraged to be a part of youth group. But it was at 16 or 17 when I made the decision to accept Christ as my own. And at that time, I can remember feeling a sense of relief. After all, I was all set. Yes? At the time, it was my understanding, and I believe that I had made the most important decision of my life. Because no matter when the time came, I was certain that at the end of this life, I was in good shape for the life to come. I figured that everything that took place in between this moment of having accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and the life to come was simply the cherry on top. Something more or less ancillary, or whose main function was simply to preserve the status quo. But that's not how life works. And that's not how faith works. And that's not how a relationship with Jesus Christ works. That's not how it was for the disciples in their decision to follow Jesus. And in fact, if we follow disciples, we know that Jesus' presence in their lives brought great disruption to what they had been doing. And this isn't how it is for us today. Being a follower of Jesus Christ means that we will invite him into our lives, knowing that he will disrupt our status quo. Knowing that he will challenge us at life's crossroads. And knowing that he will enable us to do the hard work in our lives so that who we are and who we are becoming becomes more like him. And so today and in the coming week, I hope you will consider your expectations of Christ's presence in your life today. Do you have room in your life? Do you have room in your faith? And do you have room in the church for Christ to be disruptive? Do you allow for the possibility of change? The possibility of growth? The possibility of the unexpected? I'm still of the belief that to know Jesus is to know peace. Christ still is and forever will be the Prince of Peace. And at the same time, may we not forget that sometimes this peace can be altogether different. Different from what we expect, different from whatever could be captured on a bumper sticker. Amen? Amen. I invite us to be in a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. Everlasting God, as we have gathered in worship through praise, through the giving of gifts, and through your word, we are mindful of your word in our life. And on this day, we are mindful of the lesson Jesus taught us about following him. And Lord, as we consider how decisive and even divisive it can be in our lives to follow you, we pray for ourselves, we pray for one another, we pray for our community and the world, we pray that we would open ourselves to you, and the possibilities and the guidance of your grace. Lord, some of us here, we find ourselves in a season having done this, having opened our lives and ourselves to the possibilities of your works in our life. And we are here to praise you. For we have seen this grace work in amazing and disruptive ways, and we give you thanks for being where we are today. And there are others gathered here this morning or gathered in our homes or in our places, and we find this troubling because we find ourselves at a crossroads, and we might even have a sense of how we want things to go, and this idea of surrender and uncertainty weighs heavy on our hearts. And so we pray for the Prince of Peace to come and to give us the courage to follow you even when the way forward is difficult. God, indeed, we lift before you our students, our school staff, support staff, teachers, administrators, school boards, parents, Lord, for whom the school year lies ahead. We pray that you would keep them safe. We pray for the making of friends, the building of knowledge, and your path in their life. And Lord, as we welcome a new season into our lives, may we welcome your grace, knowing that you are trustworthy and that your very best lies on your path. And so we pray this together, praying the prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we close our worship, I invite you to stand as you are able to join us for our closing song, God Made Made From One Blood. This is found on page 2170 of our songbook or on the screen in front of us.
Thank you.
allow a time for a little bit of confession here at the end. How many of you struggled at the beginning of the special music that Bill provided, the build a hymn? How many of you wanted to know what Bill was playing? That was me, Bill. And as you played, it came to fruition, and I thought, you know, that hymn could have gone all sorts of ways, right? And it's beautiful at the end. You know, not all of us have the opportunity to have stark reminders of new seasons beginning, like backpacks that need to be blessed and school supplies that need to be gathered. But the reality of it is each of us are living in seasons of our lives. There's a season that has been, there's a season we're in, and the season that we're headed. In this season and in the one to come, we don't know what is to come. We have our plans and our desires for how Jesus might work in our life. But we don't know. And so how might we surrender where we are today for where God is leading us tomorrow? May that be the resolution of our hearts as we follow him. Amen? Amen.